Great cash, homie, man. I grew up on that.
If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Great cash, homie.
Sir, how would you like to pay for this?
What? Straight cash, homie.
You rich, you don't write checks. You know what I'm saying? And that's straight cash, homie.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, back alongside my boy Alan Flores, back for week 15 of the 2019 NFL Straight Cash Podcast, and Alan said it, we're nearing Christmas season, and we're nearing the end of the NFL season. Yes, can you believe it? We are in week 15 already, and there's only 3 weeks of football left, so let's go ahead and keep what we've been doing all season long and give you winners after winners right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, because you know the 49ers had a huge win this weekend. The Raiders did not win, but at least we told you to take the Titans on the spread. So, of course, we're going to get into our full Bay Area breakdown as the Niners probably put on the game of the year against the Saints, and the Raiders will be back in Oakland this weekend for the final game in Oakland. So they say, Alan, so they say. So, of course, we're going to hop into this Raiders and 49ers breakdown, see what happens this weekend as the Raiders take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the 49ers will be taking on the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to get into all these division matchups. We got the Texans and the Titans deciding divisions. We got the Seahawks taking on the Panthers. We got the Patriots taking on the Cincinnati Bengals looking to bounce back. Chargers, Vikings, Rams, Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Buffalo Bills. We got a lot of games with playoff implication this week, so let's go ahead and hop into it. But before we get into the Bay Area, of course, we got to recap how we did last week. And Alan, the money chain continues, baby. Hop on all the board. You thought this 49ers bandwagon was strong. You should hop on this straight cash bandwagon because it's full with nothing but cash and nothing but winners, because we gave you another double-digit performance this weekend. I went 10-4-2 against the spread and gave you another 10 winners on the money line. My season totals are up now to 116-90-5 against the spread, while my money line is still killing it, 138-71. But it's not even my week to put the shine on, because my boy Al did even better. Al, let the people know how you did last week.
When he says I did even better, that means I went 12-4 on the spread, which is very more than satisfying to me, and 10-6, of course, as well in my money line picks. Now, people, I got to be real with you. I honestly do not know my money line record, but if I were to have to guess, I would probably be over 100, and that brings my spread record to 111-94-5. Why is it 5? Well, because we had to get two more fucking pushes, a.k.a. the Colts, a.k.a. the fucking Lions. But you know what? A push is better than a loss, is how I see it.
Hey, absolutely. A push, you're not losing any money. Some people actually consider pushes to be a cover, Al, but this is the Bay's Golden Days, so we're only counting winners when you win actual money. So yeah, like Alan said, we had two pushes this weekend, now up to 5 on the season. But yeah, look at our records against the spread. We're above 20 games above 500 on the money line. I told you, I'm up to now basically 140-70. I'm giving you double the amount of winners than I am in losers. I mean, hey, I've been telling you all year, cash in with your boy Moneyline Marcus, and that's what we're going to be looking to do this weekend, as we are looking for the 49ers and the Raiders to win both on the money line this weekend, or at least I should say I am, because I will speak for myself. I think the 49ers take care of the Atlanta Falcons pretty easily after putting on what was the game of the season in New Orleans, got the victory 48-46. And Alan, I knew this was going to be a great game. I knew this was going to be a potential conference final championship game. But I didn't expect 48-46. I didn't expect each team to be able to cover the fucking total by themselves. I mean, let's just hop into it. It was Kyle Shanahan's offensive masterpiece this weekend. This 49ers offense put up 516 total yards, 6 touchdowns. I mean, we talked about the Saints defense last week. They have a top 5 running defense. Well, Kyle Shanahan came out throwing the ball this weekend, and they had to, because from the get-go, it was back and forth, back and forth. I can't even give you the whole recap in less than an hour in this game, so I'll just go ahead and run through the game drive real quick. First drive, touchdown Saints. Second drive, touchdown Niners. Touchdown Saints. Punt 49ers. Touchdown Saints. Touchdown 49ers. Touchdown Saints. Touchdown 49ers. Punt. Touchdown 49ers. End of half. Second half starts, Jimmy Garoppolo throws an interception. The one bad thing he did all game, but I can't even really hate too much. This was one of the interceptions that truly was on his wide receivers. It was
a
drop.
That was a tip one, right?
Yep. Next thing you know, Saints come back with a field goal. defense was able to hold him to 3 points. I thought that was huge. 49ers punt. Next thing you know, Saints turn the ball over. Fumble, touchdown, field goal, punt, turnover on downs. We had the fake punt controversy we'll get to in a little bit. But then next thing you know, 49ers, touchdown. Saints, touchdown. Field goal, touchdown, field goal. I mean, you probably got lost with me just talking about all these fucking touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo had an absolute day. I think this was his best game as a 49er. He went 26 for 35, had 349 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mentioned he did have that interception, but this guy really made all the throws he needed to all game long. And the biggest throw he made, 4th and 2, it was a little dump off, so wet, but George Kittle took it down the sideline. Hey, Kittle running up the middle. The man cannot be stopped. Stone cold Kittle. We've talked about all season long. The best tight end in the league, blocking and receiving, and he was just unstoppable on that final play. It took like 3 or 4 guys jumping on him, pulling on the face mask. I mean, it set up the game-winning field goal. Robbie Gould came through clutch, and the 49ers won this game based off their offense out, which I don't think really anybody really expected. We thought this 49ers defense was going to be able to get after this Saints offense, but we'll get to the 49ers in a second. Honestly, this was a perfect game from Jimmy Garoppolo. It was near perfect. Kyle Shanahan was near perfect on the play calling. Kittle had 6 catches, 6-7 yards and a touchdown. Emmanuel Sanders had a day.
He was
7 perfect.
7 catches,
157 yards, a touchdown. And yes, Al, he had a perfect passer rating because he threw a touchdown pass as well. I mean, Kyle Shanahan was pulling out all the tricks. I mean, I've talked about it all year long. The misdirections, the pulling George Kittle right, stopping him in the backfield, then have him turn around and go left and be the lead blocker for Raheem Mostert. He had a touchdown as well. George Kittle blocking, the blocking assignment that Kyle Shanahan draws up, and these play calls that Kyle Shanahan has drawn up has been absolutely phenomenal all year long. But I think the key story in this game has to be Jimmy Garoppolo out-dueling Hall of Famer Drew Brees. And Alan, we've probably been one of the most critical podcasts on Jimmy Garoppolo all year long, but we have been giving him his credit his past 3-4 games. He has been staying alive in the pocket. He's been making all the throw he needs to make, and he's not turning the ball over at the same rate that he was at the beginning of the season. I mean, 49er fans still hate it when I say he's a game manager, but as long as he's making all of these throws, the Niners have a chance to win pretty much any game they're in. So, Alan, from the number one Jimmy Garoppolo critic in the Bay Area himself, what did you think of his performance, and you think Jimmy G has finally arrived as one of the top quarterbacks in the league?
I think we're focused a little bit more on Jimmy G, and honestly, I think we should focus at least about this past week on their receivers, because a lot of fans like to say, well, Jimmy's doing it without receivers. I mean, Debo is looking really fucking decent for someone who is a rookie this year, right?
Yeah, second round draft pick. I think he was a 4th or 5th guy drafted. But yeah, he goes over the middle recklessly.
Yeah, and he's not scared. The motherfucker knows how to run his routes. The motherfucker got heart. He will go and catch that ball and get knocked out at the same time. I have respect for Debo. And even for that fucking, that Hail Mary that Jimmy threw, which, by the way, I want to say personally, I think that was a push-off on the offense. I thought I saw a push-off, but you know what? I could be wrong. That's just my opinion. But I think we're really not talking about these receivers that are doing a little bit better week by week, getting Jimmy a little bit more connections week by week. I mean, we all talk about Kittle because, of course, it's Kittle. He's the top fucking receiver on that team. But going deeper into the season, your offense is going to be a lot better. You're going to have more chemistry. You're going to have more connections. And honestly, I just think that these guys really believe in Jimmy, even though I really don't, because I can still say that you put any quarterback in that fucking offense, he could probably do the same thing. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Jimmy is the big piece. All of a sudden, people want to jump back on Jimmy's nuts, right? Mark, a week ago, Marcus was just saying how so many fans were calling up, tripping about Jimmy. Now those same motherfuckers are probably sitting there sucking his cock over again. So I just think that we're doing a little bit too much talk about Jimmy. I'm kind of over talking about Jimmy because you guys already know how I feel. Put anybody there, they're going to do the same thing. As long as you got Kyle Shanahan there, things are going to be looking up for that Niners offense. And I think that Jimmy, I'll respectfully say, is getting better. Mm-hmm. I will say that he's definitely doing better. He's definitely trying to show himself more than a game manager. I mean, honestly, he didn't really do anything that special as far as the just being clutch. Like, okay, so he threw a fucking little dump off to Kittle. Where was the fucking connection, or where was the coverage on Kittle in the first place? That play should have never happened. He should have looked at another receiver because everybody should have been on Kittle. But I can't talk shit. It was a great fucking game. And like Marcus said, they fucking covered themselves.
Hey, they covered the spread. They got the upset victory, just like we said it would happen right here on the Straight Cash Podcast. And yeah, Alan, I'm right there with you. Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers look great. 26 for 35, 349 yards, and 4 touchdowns. But, yeah, was there any, like, mind-blowing plays? Now, people are probably thinking, you're crazy. You put up great stats. He's even a great fantasy quarterback this past week. But it's, again, Kyle Shanahan's offense. He's throwing to open wide receivers. But you can't discredit Jimmy Garoppolo for throwing to open wide receivers. I mean, shit, I wish Derek Carr had some fucking wide open wide receivers he could throw to. So, yeah, I got to give Jimmy Garoppolo credit. He's been playing better the past couple weeks, and he's making all the throws he needs to make, and he's not turning the ball over, Al.
I will say this thing. He's holding that ball a little too long at certain times where he shouldn't. I've seen a couple times last week where he should have just at least threw it out of fucking bounds. He was definitely out of the pocket. He's still – I mean, I get it. You're looking for somebody to throw to. Okay, but sometimes you just got to let that fucking ball go, because guess what? You lose 10, 15 yards on a sack, which kind of screwed you guys over. But luckily, your fucking coach is a genius and allows you guys to get like 15 more yards the next fucking play.
Hey, lucky is a good word to bring up, Al, because there was some controversy in this game with penalty calls throughout the whole entire game. Of course, early in the game, we had the hit on Jared Cook on his second touchdown. He got knocked out for a concussion. But I don't know if he actually caught the ball. They said he caught it, then dropped it. So that counted as a touchdown. But that actually led to the Saints going for a two-point conversion. They failed that two-point conversion. And we saw later that that point came back to bite him in the ass. But there were a couple controversial penalties. I mentioned it. There was the no PI call on the fake punt, because I get the ruling that
you can't
call pass interference on a fake punt because, yeah, the guy's job is to block the gunner. So I understand that. But if you can't call pass interference, how the fuck do you not call holding out? I mean, he had his arms wrapped around him. You can't block like that. You can't wrap a guy up. So I don't even understand. If you don't call at least defensive pass interference, which I guess you can't, how do you not just call holding on that play?
Well, first, the thing I want to bring up with the Jared Cook thing, I personally actually wished that they would call a penalty, because all I could think about was the fact that Jesse James did the same fucking thing, crossing the plane in the touchdown against the Patriots, and they called a no touchdown. So I was like, you know what? If they're going to call a touchdown on this, then you better give back that fucking touchdown from 2 years ago. Now, as far as that fucking penalty, you said it already. You can't be mad if it's already a rule. It's not like the refs missed the call, but at the same time, they did miss the call. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy was all over him. Literally just fucking like he was a goddamn piece of meat at a club. It was just disgusting. It was horrific. And at first I was so fucking pissed off about it. But you know what? If it was an actual rule, then you can't really argue it.
No, you can't at all. And man, I want to go on to this next penalty that I want to bring up, where I think, yeah, there's rules before like the punt and the defense pass interference rules. But this one was just a plain, blatant mess up of the call. This was late in the fourth quarter. 49ers were driving down the field, 3rd and 8. A little dump off to Kyle Juszczyk. I forgot who it was from the Saints, but he came up and absolutely smacked the hell out of Kyle Juszczyk, hit him with his shoulder, and they called a helmet-to-helmet hit, set the 49ers up with a first and goal. Next thing you know, Jimmy Garoppolo finds Kendrick Bourne in the back of the end zone. I mean, Al, I know we've gotten to this helmet-to-helmet conversation before with Vontaze Burfict and everything and player safety, blah, 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 but this was blanket. This was not a helmet-to-helmet collision, and it really did end up helping the 49ers.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and sound like a typical casual saying, oh, this is rigged. You know, they just want the Niners to win. I honestly just think these refs are fucking dumb this season. These guys are missing crucial calls. Now, again, we're human. Mm-hmm. We're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But these motherfuckers are making the constant same mistakes every fucking week, no matter what game it is. No matter what game, Mark, it is always going to happen, and these guys need to get it to fucking together. These refs are really fucking up people's games. And you know what? These refs are even fucking up picks.
Hey, the refs are fucking up everything, and I just think it was just the irony of the defensive pass interference rule was implemented because of what happened to the Saints.
Yep.
Now they have a huge no pass interference called on them. They can't even challenge a helmet-to-helmet contact. I mean, things just aren't going great for Saints fans. Saints fans are not happy at all right now. They're complaining about it. But I think at the end of the day, this was just the 49ers offense, at least, outplaying this Saints offense. And honestly, the Saints offense did well, and that's what I want to get to next, Al. Let's go ahead and talk about this 49ers defense, because we said, yeah, we think the 49ers are going to win. They're going to cover the spread, blah, 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 all that good stuff. But we thought it was going to be because Drew Brees is a stationary quarterback, and we thought Nick Bosa was going to be breathing down his neck the whole entire game, which I will give credit to Nick Bosa. He did disrupt a lot of players, but Drew Brees was just quick, 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 getting that ball out as fast as possible. Like we mentioned last week on the podcast, Drew Brees threw for 349 yards and 5 touchdowns. Michael Thomas was damn near unstoppable, had 11 catches, 134 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, this is a 49ers defense that let up 46 points, got 0 sacks, allowed the Saints to go perfect 4-for-4 in the red zone. I mean, Alan, this has not been the defense that we've seen from the 49ers all season long. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you, has the 49ers defense been exposed?
You see, I said that they got exposed when they lost to the Seahawks, only on the fact that because of it was a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little confused now.
Because this is a whole other prototype of quarterback.
This is a whole different fucking aspect. Everyone, you heard it last week. We said nothing but that Niners defense is probably – I even said that Niners defense is probably going to break a record of themselves of getting sacks. They did not get near that.
No, and didn't get any sacks.
And you know what's funny was we talk about how Breeze got the ball off early. In my opinion, I don't even think he did. I think he was literally just sitting in that pocket for the most part of the game and just throwing to whoever was open, whoever had the best chance to catch it.
He picked apart that zone defense.
And you know what? I've always said that this DB core wasn't even that up to par. Mm-mm. It was always that front seven that made that defense so fucking lethal, and you take them away, and not to mention you got a Hall of Fame quarterback, things are going to really erupt on this fucking defense, and that showed with the 46 points that Drew Brees and the Saints put up. So I'm very, very shocked. I didn't think that Brees was going to be able to do what he did. I was expecting Kamara to have a field day. Hell, we talk about Brees' touchdowns, five touchdowns. He even got a rushing touchdown. Even fucking Hill. Hill did his fucking job and got himself a nice little touchdown. So it's like that offense was really fucking going crazy on that Niners defense. The Niners defense, I've always said that they got exposed, but because of a quarterback like Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. So it's like I can't even say – you probably have more knowledge than I do now because I can't even say about the explosion because, I mean, I honestly don't know. I thought they were only exposed by one thing, but Brees exposed them with a whole lot of others.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The talk at the radio station KMBR 680 has been, oh, the 49ers are great against stationary quarterbacks. They're like statues in the backfield. But we've seen Drew Brees got the ball out so quick. His step back was so quick. I think Drew Brees picking apart this zone defense. I saw some crazy stat. He's got like a high 80-something percent completion rating against zone defenses. So he went back and just picked apart that zone defense. And honestly, I don't know if this 49ers defense has been exposed to the point where they're going to lose every game and get blown out now. I mean, we saw Baltimore Ravens defense back in the day. They would always have one random game. The Chicago Bears defense back in like 85, they got blown out one game too. So yeah, there's always an outlier for their defense. I mean, shit, they struggled against the Cardinals and the Seahawks, like we said, but those were against mobile quarterbacks. I think Drew Brees was able to put some stuff on tape that the rest of the league is going to copy, try to get these quick slants over the middle. I mean, Michael Thomas seems unstoppable over the middle, and honestly, Richard Sherman had no chance of stopping him, and it's going to get even worse for this 49ers defensive backfield because Richard Sherman's out. It's probably not going to be playing this week. D Ford got hurt again this past weekend. So yeah, this 49ers defense has been playing great all year, but it seems like they're slowing down towards this back end in this playoff rush out.
It also, honestly, I think it also based on depending on who's playing. Now, again, this is Drew fucking Brees with Michael Thomas, who is the highest paid wide receiver, which is definitely earning that back.
Yeah.
So it just depends on who you're playing. Like, sure, you could always expose a defense on like zone coverage or the way they blitz or anything. But it also comes down to who's more athletic, who's more fucking better as a human being, as a fucking freakish athlete to the point where you can get to them. You know, it's like, say we have Aaron Rodgers or something against the Niners. Mm-hmm. We all know what he can do, but let's say he has a shitty ass line. You know, it's just it all just depends on anything, honestly. It's a week-to-week basis for football.
Well, exactly. That's why I want to give credit to this New Orleans Saints line because, yeah, this is pretty much the same scenario when they played the Packers a couple of weeks ago. We talked about Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback. He's got Devontae Adams on the outside, one of the best wide receivers in the game. But this Packers offensive line just could not hold up at all. So you got to give props to the Saints offensive line because they gave Drew Brees time to throw. He gave him time to get downfield. And like I said, picked apart this zone defense. Niners dealing with a lot of injuries. They got to play against another number one wide receiver this weekend. They're taking off Julio Jones, and like I said, without Richard Sherman, that's going to be a test. So it's going to be interesting what Matt Ryan can do against his defense because the 49ers are favored by 10.5 points, Al.
I got to say something about this defense real quick. And I'm probably going to be – I mean, I actually – my people might agree with me. Sherman being gone might actually help because they might have some fresh legs ready to fucking go, ready to play motivated. Now, I've always said this about Sherman. He's a smart player. I never really thought of him as like a freakish athlete who can just lock down anybody. The motherfucker just knows how to play. He knows how to read offenses and just knows how to read receivers. So with him being gone, I got to say, Sherman is not who he used to be. He's up there in age. He's getting whipped by almost any receiver he sees. So for him to be out, this could be a potential advantage where the Niners can bring someone else fresh and who's ready to fucking play, who's ready to make a name for himself.
Yeah, Witherspoon has been stepping up a lot this year. He's been playing great. I don't know if this week specifically it's going to help out this 49er defense at all because, yeah, Richard Sherman has slowed down the past couple of years coming off that Achilles injury, but he's still one of the best corners man-to-man on these big wide receivers. receivers. So I think Julio Jones would have been a good matchup for him. Calvin Ridley is a guy who could have killed him on the outside, but Calvin Ridley's now out for the season. He's not going to be playing as well. So yeah, against Julio Jones, you need a big corner to match up with him. So I think Richard Sherman not playing this weekend is going to be a huge factor. But honestly, we've been up and down with the Falcons all year long, Al. I mean, fucking, hey, you were smart enough to actually take more of the Panthers. I thought they were going to lose last week, but they beat the Panthers 40-20. Like I said, Calvin Ridley's out. Julio Jones can still put up points on anybody. So Matt Ryan and his offense can still put up points. But honestly, I think the 49ers should tear up this Falcons defense. Kyle Shanahan is familiar with it, of course, coming from Atlanta. He was the offensive coordinator. We all know the story. So I think Kyle Shanahan has a big revenge game. I think the 49ers are feeling themselves right now. They're back on top in the NFC. They are the number one seed after, of course, the Seahawks losing this week. I mean, we talked all that last week about them dropping from number one to number five. Well, guess back. They're back up at number one. Now, this game is back in Santa Clara, back at Levi's. I don't know if the 49ers are going to be feeling themselves too much. This could be a potential trap game, but I think the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan going against a former team, I think they blow out the Falcons. 10.5-point spread. I can see the 49ers win this game by 2 touchdowns easily, Al.
First of all, you're welcome to you fucking piece of shit fans who listened to us and actually had to agree with us when we said it's a week-to-week season. So now the Niners are in first instead of fifth. So you're welcome for fucking calming y'all down. But you know what? This ain't no fucking trap game. Kyle Shanahan is going to be playing pissed off. And when I say playing, I mean playing those fucking plays on that offensive playbook. I think the Niners are going to dismantle this fucking Falcons. And you know what? I don't even know if Julio Jones might have a good game. We'll see. I mean, if Matt Ryan can't even get the ball off, then he's not going to do shit. So I don't even think it matters what corner is there starting Julio Jones, because I honestly think that Matt Ryan is going to be on the floor more than he gets completions.
Yeah, this Falcons offensive line is not great. It's been a problem the past couple seasons. So look for Nick Bosa to have a big day. DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead. Like I said, D Ford might still be out, but I still think they have enough talent on that defensive line to get after Matt Ryan. So the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan should make the Falcons pay this weekend at home. Got to keep winning to keep that number one seed and get that bye in the playoffs. We're taking the 49ers to win and to cover that 10-point spread. And then let's go ahead and hop over to the other side of the bay where it might be the final game in Oakland, Al. Yes, the Raiders will be hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars after getting pretty much blown out last week in Oakland against the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Raiders have been a great team at home this year. They've won 7 out of the last 9 home games. Obviously, the Titans wasn't one of those games where they won. They came out in the first half. Obviously, Josh Jacobs did not play this weekend. It was a game time decision. I just want to say fuck Peter Schrager from Fox Sports for telling me he was going to play and fucking me out of a fantasy fucking championship. Fucking asshole. But Josh Jacobs should be back this weekend. But let's go ahead and talk about this Titans game real quick. DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard filled in pretty well. And honestly, the Raiders were in this game. It was tied 21-21 at halftime. And then the second half came, and the Raiders forgot they were supposed to come out and play because they got absolutely blown out in the second half. 42-21 was the final score. The Raiders punt, 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 punt. I'm pretty sure they didn't get a first down in the second half until that final drive of the game. Drove it all the way down. Next thing you know, Derek Carr's got a chance for some garbage points, and he's throwing the fucking ball away on fourth and goal. I mean, you just can't do this shit. I know it was a fucking blowout game. It didn't matter anyways, but I wouldn't care if Derek would have thrown an interception there. I want him to be aggressive. I want him to show the team that he wants to fucking win, and obviously, he's got to do it this weekend because it could be his final fucking opportunity to do it in Oakland. Now, I think this whole fucking game is a joke to begin with, Al. Let me start there. Because honestly, it makes no fucking sense for the final game in Oakland to be against Gardner Minshew and the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, who the fuck came up with the schedule? Let me just go back. Because, oh, it's the final season in Oakland. Then why the fuck did we spend 6 weeks on the road? Fucking London, Canada, fucking all over the fucking place. Give us some fucking respect. I mean, fucking A. I went to the Farewell Tour 2018 edition last year. Of course, Al knows all about it. Me and him went to the Steeler game. The Raiders got the W. Next week, the Raiders, primetime football, Sunday night. Take out the Denver Broncos 27-14. The place was absolutely buzzing. Derek Carr, John Gruden were running around the black hole. People were sparking up spliffs and black and miles up in the fucking stands. People were tearing down the fucking signs off the wall. It was an all-out fucking mayhem party. I mean, I saw a guy steal the 209 fucking sign. I'm like, let's go, baby. 209, motherfucker, what? Shout out to the Diaz brothers. It was a fucking blast. And then they're like, oh, I think the Raiders still might be playing this year. I mean, you remember preseason? They're like, oh, yeah, they're going to play at Oracle Park. They're going to play at Stanford. They're going to play at Cal. Who knows where the fuck they're going
to
be playing?
They were trying
and
to get them out.
Who knows where the fuck they're going to be playing next year, Al, because that Las Vegas stadium might not be ready. And fucking UNLV doesn't really want the Raiders playing there. So who knows if they're going to be in Vegas next year? Who knows if they're going to return to Oakland? And that is why I'm not even going to bother going to the game this weekend, Al. And I didn't even bother going to a game this whole entire season, Al, because I'm pissed off with this whole fucking entire thing. The NFL has been cooking us with the fucking Raiders all season long. I mean, I wouldn't stay with a girlfriend of mine if she was like, hey, Marcus, I think I'm going to leave you for this guy, but I can't do it for another year, so you think I could live with you for another year? No, bitch. Get the fuck out of here. If you're going to leave us already. I said my piece last year to the final two games I went to last year. I have a shirt that says Farewell Coliseum 2018, so that was my final good riddance, and I didn't want anything to do with the Raiders this year because, obviously, I told you guys they weren't going to be a playoff team. Now they had some hope with the rookies midway through the season, and I was like, all right, maybe I should go to one of these Raider games. But the only way I'm going to do it is if the Raiders host a playoff game, because I've never been to one in my fucking life because the Raiders have been so fucking trash throughout my whole entire fucking existence. But no, they fucked up, gave me some hope midway through the season. We're only one game back from the AFC West and Kansas City Chiefs, and now they've lost fucking three games in a row playing like shit, and now they're coming home playing the final game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what is it, week 15? There's still three more fucking weeks in the season, and the Raiders aren't going to be playing at home. Allen, I fucking hate it. This is fucking bullshit. No respect from the NFL, but what a fucking surprise. It's one last fuck you to Al Davis, but Al Davis is going to rise up from the grave and give one last fuck you to the NFL, because I'm taking the Raiders to win this game. I don't give a shit what the fuck the spread is. If it's going to be the final game in Oakland, you know the Coliseum is going to be lit. I'm looking for the Raiders to cover this 6.5-point spread. It started at 3.5, started at 4.5. As long as it's under a touchdown, I'm taking the Raiders to win this game by a fucking billion, Al. Give me the Raiders, final game in Oakland.
Are you good, bro?
I think I'm good.
All right, he's good. All right, so. Well, Marcus, as much as I do not want to kill your motherfucking rant, I am so sorry, but I think that the Jaguars keep it close, and not only do I think they keep it close, I honestly say that they might want to get an upset. Now, the only thing that's keeping me from saying the upset is that Chark is questionable. If he doesn't really play and that full wide receiver core ain't there, then it might have to be the Raiders to win by like three. But I think that this game ultimately comes close. I think it honestly comes down to a last possession. Hey, hopefully the Raiders come down with that last possession and win it. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I think that the Jaguars cover that 6.5 spread.
Hey, Gardner Minshew taken back over for the Jaguars. They have not been great lately. As bad as the Raiders have been playing, the Jacksonville Jaguars have been playing even worse. They've lost five straight games, and all five of those games they've lost by 17-plus points, Allen. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 3-20 in the month of December since 2008. I mean, they're just not a good end-of-the-year team. I know Gardner Minshew's got a little bit of magic with them. Honestly, it wouldn't be surprising if the Raiders went out with a loss, but I'm just not doing it. I can't fucking go there. I'm going with my Raiders, -6.5. Give me Josh Jacobs back in a black hole one more time. He's questionable again, but I think he's going to be out there because he's got three games left to his rookie season, and if he gets 247 yards, he beats Saquon Barkley's rookie rushing record. I mean, the guy's been phenomenal. Rookie of the year. Sign him up. Give me Josh Jacobs, -6.5 points out, and that's the fucking Bay Area cover for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. I'm taking the Raiders and the 49ers to cover. Allen thinks the Jaguars are going to play upset special in the last game in Oakland, but I'm not standing for it. Seawood gonna be in the building. John Madden, bring him out. Bring out all the Raiders grades. It's the final game in Oakland, and the Raiders should get their final W at the Coliseum. And then let's go ahead and hop into Thursday Night Football. We got an ugly one for you. It's the Ravens and the Jets. But before we do, Randy, let them know what time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right, Randy. It's time for the Thursday night straight cash special before we hop into the Sunday slate of games. And let's go ahead and start off with the Baltimore Ravens taking on the New York Jets. And this is a huge number. I think it might be one of the biggest numbers on Thursday Night Football ever. It is at 14.5. Now, the Baltimore Ravens have been great against the spread for us this year. They got another W last week against the Bills. They won 24-17, were able to cover. And honestly, it was a back-and-forth game, but this Ravens defense put the clamps on this Bills offense. They made it close late, but honestly, the Ravens were in control of this whole entire game. The New York Jets, on the flip side, they barely squeaked by a victory over the Dolphins. We told you to take the Dolphins +5.5, so we won you some money there as well. I think it relied on like a fucking pass interference, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Another bullshit to set them up with a fucking game-winning field goal. I mean, back-to-back weeks now, we've seen this bullshit. But hey, man, the New York Jets, they got the win, but they're eliminated from playoffs. I mean, their team has been a joke the whole entire season. I mean, first we had fucking Sam Darnold with mono, dealing with the sickness. Now we got Le'Veon Bell with his sickness, didn't play this Sunday, but was seen out bowling on Saturday night.
What a fucking joke.
What a fucking jerk off, huh? Fucking, I remember Steelers, oh, how you getting rid of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown? Like, yeah, how's that working out for Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell this season now?
I'll tell you how it's feeling. Fuck them. We got James Conner. Okay, that's how we're feeling. You know what? Fuck Le'Veon Bell. This motherfucker's talking about how he can get 251 bowling. Well, I haven't even seen him get 150 yards rushing. So, Le'Veon Bell, I hope you're happy leaving Pittsburgh for a few million less dollars, okay? And with that being said, Marcus, I'm telling you, I think this spread is way too much. I think that I'm going to have to take the Jets. As much as the Baltimore Ravens have been rolling for us, this spread is too much. I think that the Jets really try to play with some fucking heart. I think they want to be like, hey, we want to stay irrelevant, so we're going to at least try to lose by 10. I don't know. I just honestly think that this spread is too much. Y'all know how we feel about double spreads. Despite the two fucking different teams we were playing here, I can't really rely on the fucking Ravens. So, yeah, I think I'm going to have to go ballsy and just take the Jets on a plus 14.5.
Yeah, you know, that spread is big. 14.5 is a lot of points, but honestly, the Baltimore Ravens are 5, 6, 7, 10 categories above the New York Jets. And Allen, yeah, it's a lot of points, but there are a couple of key injuries. The rookie Quinnen Williams, head of that defensive line, is supposed to be not playing this weekend. Jamal Adams is questionable as well. He didn't play last week. So you're talking about two of the best defenders for this Jets defense. And then, yeah, the Jets, they've got the number two rushing defense in the league, but the Dolphins just ran for 122 yards on them, and Ryan Fitzpatrick had 65 yards rushing. We're not talking about Lamar Jackson, the king of rushing, playing against a beat-up Jets defense. I think I might have to take the Ravens in that number one rushing offense to cover that spread, Al.
Well, think of it this way. We got Lamar Jackson questionable, right?
True, he's got a quad
So wouldn't
injury.
You think that they would probably tone it down a little bit? Like, hey, we need you for the fucking playoffs. You're damn near fucking – you guys are ready for a bye week right now. So it's like, I think that they probably might tone it down with Lamar Jackson. Hell, if he's not even feeling good, they might just say, fuck it, take him out, put in someone else. I mean, it's the Jets. This game really don't mean shit other than keeping your first place bye week or whatever, trying to get to that. But I don't even think you even get that, Ravens. As much as good as you guys have been playing, I think you guys might be toning it down this week. I don't know. That's just my bold prediction. This is my bold prediction of the week. I'm taking Jets plus 14.5.
Hey, Al, I like where you're heading on that. That's a lot of points to play with. That's almost too many points in the NFL. But honestly, something in my gut feeling, you know, I've been riding with the Ravens in my gut all season long. I think Lamar Jackson, even if they do tone it down a little bit, I think they could be up by 2, maybe 3 touchdowns in the third quarter. Robert Griffin III comes in, and then maybe he scores a touchdown or two. I think the Jets' defense is that bad, especially if Jamal Adams isn't playing this week. I think I'm rolling with the Baltimore Ravens, minus 14.5. I think they're going to blow out the fucking Jets on Thursday Night Football, and I don't even think it's going to be close. Turn off your TV by the third quarter. Baltimore is going to win this one, but hey, maybe you're going to be rolling with Al, take the 14.5, and hey, fucking the Jets could come back with a backdoor cover. That wouldn't be surprising at all. Garbage time touchdown for Sam Darnold. I could see it, but I think the Baltimore Ravens are actually going to blow out the Jets on Thursday Night Football. Then let's go ahead and hop into Sunday, where we got a lot of division matchups. The first one will start off in the NFC North. We got the Chicago Bears traveling to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Now, this is a rematch of week one in the season, where the Packers won a snooze fest 10-3 on Thursday
Boring
Night Football.
Game.
Yeah, it was a terrible fucking game. That game was a game where Aaron Rodgers was getting plus points. Now he's favored by 4.5. Now, 4.5 is a risky number to lay down in a division matchup. Of course, the Bears have been playing better. They won last week on Thursday Night Football versus the Cowboys, 31-24. I think the Bears have won back-to-back games on Thursdays. They played on Thanksgiving. Now they're playing again on Thursday Night Football. I mean, shit, the Bears should just play all the games on Thursday throughout the whole entire season. Mitch Trubisky seems like he balls out on Thursday nights, but they will not be playing on Thursday night. They'll be playing in Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers in the newly appointed number 2 seed in the NFC. After the Saints lost this week, the Packers are in prime position to get a bye week. Now, it's been sloppy. It's been kind of ugly up and down for the Green Bay Packers. They've got a win last week against the Redskins, 20-15. I took the Packers win by 12. Surprise, surprise, the fucking Redskins got a fucking garbage time fucking touchdown. That's why, like Alan said, it's smart to take double-digit points against the spread in the NFL. But yeah, this one back and forth. The Bears, I guess they're still technically in the hunt. They got a 7-6 record, but they only got a 2% chance of making the playoffs. While, like I said, Green Bay Packers are the number 2 seed. I think they're going to fight hard for that number 2 seed. I think they want that bye. I think they want to play a playoff game in Lambeau. I think Aaron Rodgers, like I said, anytime it's less than a touchdown, I think he can cover the spread. I'll go ahead and take the Packers, minus 4.5 here, Al.
Well, let's think of it this way. The fucking performance he put up last week against the Redskins, 18 for 28, 195 yards, 1 TD. Yeah, that's not Aaron Rodgers. That is unacceptable, and I think he bounces back hard against this fucking Bears. Yeah, it's a divisional game, so we always talk about how close it is, but this is one fucking week where fucking Aaron Rodgers wants to go hard for that fucking spot and hell, even the Bears might even try to go hard for that fucking playoff spot, but they got to rely on other people as opposed to the Packers. They got to do it themselves. So I think that Aaron Rodgers bounces back. And hell, expect Aaron Jones to maybe even get 100 yards again. He had 134 last week, but this is the Bears' defense, so it might be toned down a little bit. But we're not going to sit here and not take the fucking Packers at -4.5.
Yeah, you got to take the Packers. If it's less than a touchdown, go ahead and roll with that spread and get this. The Bears are 0-4 against the spread on the road this year. They're 2-5 against the spread versus the NFC North, and they're 5-13 against the spread in their last 18 matchups against the Packers. The Packers have had their number. They already beat them once this year. I think they do it again. They won on the road. Now they're back in Lambeau. I think they get the home victory, and they cover that spread -4.5 points. But then talking about division matchups, we got another one out here in the AFC West. It's the Denver Broncos versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And let me start here. What the fuck was last week? The Broncos upset the Texans, upset of the week. And honestly, I should be fucking 11-3-1 this week because I was like, oh, I think I'm going to go with the Broncos. I think that's too many points against this Texans offense. Blah, blah, blah. Their offensive line's not good. They can get some sacks. I didn't think the Broncos were going to fucking upset them. But then I got Allen over here like, oh, Marcus, I can't believe you're taking the Broncos, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, fuck it. Fuck the Broncos. Take the Texans. So hopefully you listen to my initial breakdown. Like I said, I didn't even count it as a winner against the spread because I flip-flopped, went back and forth, ended up taking the Texans. But honestly, I thought the Broncos could cover the spread. I did not see them beating the Texans 38-24 out.
Marcus, this was a complete opposite of what happened. You were the crazy one that took the Broncos at first,
fuck
and then
me.
I was crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, fuck, it is what it is. That, again, is just another definition of a week-to-week. I don't know what the fuck's up with the Texans, but you know what? They got to get their heads out of their fucking asses. But we're not talking about the Texans. This is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. And honestly, the Kansas City Chiefs at 9.5. I think I'm going to have to take Denver this time because, I mean, Drew Locke, man, what's up with this fucking guy, huh? What is up with him?
Undefeated.
What's up with their tight end fucking Fant or Faint, however the fuck you say?
Yep.
You got yourself a pretty nice connection going on. And for a fucking trash-ass team like the Broncos record-wise, they're playing pretty good, probably looking like one of the best trash teams of the season. And I just think that what the Chiefs have been playing against New England, and this is New England, but you know what? They like to play fucking conservative, the fucking Chiefs. When they got a huge lead, they like to blow it. And I think that the Broncos are going to be playing their asses off. They did it last week. I can see them doing it this week. If it was less than 9.5, if it was like a touchdown or less, definitely taking the Chiefs. But I think that Drew Locke is trying to play and fucking prove something to himself and his team and to the fucking fans in Denver. So let's just go ahead and listen to Al and take Denver this week.
Hey, Al's taking Denver. He's taking Drew Locke. Drew Locke is 2-0 straight up and against the spread as a starter. And you've mentioned the Broncos have been playing a lot better football lately. They're 7-2 against the spread in their last 9 games. But against the spread, there's no one better than Andy Reid, especially in the AFC West. Now, we talk about it. Yeah, it's a division game. 9.5 points is a lot. But get this. Since 2015, Andy Reid is 25-2 straight up and 20-7 against the spread against the AFC West. I've talked about it a bunch. The Raiders have lost like 5 straight games. I mean, it seems like everybody's on a 5-game fucking losing streak to the Chiefs. The Chiefs had probably their biggest win of the season last week, beating the Patriots 23-16. So this could be a letdown spot for sure, like we saw with the Texans. Beat the Patriots next week. They fucking overlooked their opponent, let down. But because this is an AFC West matchup, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to overlook them. And honestly, Andy Reid is just too good against the AFC West. Drew Locke's playing phenomenal. But to me, I think the Chiefs can win this game by a touchdown and a field goal. As long as it's underneath 10 points, I feel comfortable taking the Chiefs. So I'm going to go ahead and roll with Patrick Mahomes. So you should listen to Moneyline Marcus, because I think regardless, I think both of us are going to take the Chiefs on the money line at least, right?
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah. You can't take the Broncos for the upset. Let's not get too crazy. But hey, the Broncos got the fucking upset last week.
It's
so
not
you
too
never
crazy.
Fucking know. Like we said, it's the week-to-week league. And yeah, we'll see what happens. And I think honestly, Al, everybody wants to see what's going to happen this week in the AFC South. We got the Texans taking on the Titans. Both teams are tied for that AFC South title. And honestly, the winner of this game is going to have a huge leg up in that division. Now, the Tennessee Titans, they're one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. We just talked about how Ryan Tannehill absolutely torched the Oakland Raiders, went 21-27, 391 yards, 3 touchdowns. Rookie A.J. Brown out of Ole Miss has been balling for him as well.
Until he got hurt.
It seemed like the Tennessee Titans have actually found their number one wide receiver. And get this, since Ryan Tannehill has taken over in Week 7, the Tennessee Titans are 6-1, and they're second in the NFL most points per game and most touchdowns. Now, obviously, Derrick Henry has been a huge reason for that, but hey, man, Derrick Henry has been dealing with a little bit of a hamstring injury. He came out of the Raider game early. They obviously didn't need him in the fourth quarter, but they wanted to keep him healthy for this game against the Texans because they are favored at home -3, and as hot as the Titans have been playing right now, I think I got to go with my AFC South winner. I picked the Texans to win this division. Obviously, I think Deshaun Watson is a much better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill, even though Ryan Tannehill is playing phenomenal right now. I think the Texans, after losing to the Broncos, I think they got put on emergency notice because they don't got a one-game cushion anymore in the AFC South. I think Deshaun Watson's going to have a huge game against the Tennessee Titans defense. I'd like Deshaun Watson to bounce back here. Yeah, fucked up last week versus the Broncos. Still put up some points late. I think he's going to put up points on his Tennessee Titans defense. And what did I say, Al? All season long, it seems like every matchup in this AFC South is decided by 3 points or less. Well, guess what? The Texans are getting 3 points. I'll protect myself with a field goal there. I like the Texans to win the division. As hot as the Titans are, I'm rolling with the Texans plus 3 and for the upset victory as well, Alan.
I am agreeing. I think that the Texans really want it more than the Titans. I don't even think the Titans have what it takes to be a playoff team. If anything, the Titans are just going to be that team that makes the playoffs and probably lose first round because, hell, I don't think they have enough experience for that. But I think that the Texans really do want to bounce back and I got to say, you know, on a little off note, it was fun while it lasted talking about the fucking Colts, right? I mean, it looks like to me the Titans-Texans are going to be taking this fucking AFC South, but hey, I still like Brissett. I still like what he can do, but, you know, I'm just going to have to go and roll with Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, and that motherfucker Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde because, you know what? I think they deserve the playoffs more than the motherfucking Titans, the way they're on and off this season.
Yeah, the Texans, they've had huge victories, obviously beating the Patriots, being back and forth with the Chiefs. They've had a lot of big games this year. I think they are the best team in the AFC South, and I think they get the victory over the Tennessee Titans this weekend. And let's go ahead and move on to another game where, hey, man, there's another upset victory. The Seattle Seahawks went down last week to the Rams, 28-12. Now, I can say no one saw it coming, but I think a lot of NFC West fans have kind of seen it coming because the Rams kind of have had the Seahawks number over the past couple seasons. Obviously, the Seahawks have been playing better as of lately, but honestly, I think the Rams actually have more talent than the Seahawks. It's just the Seahawks have Russell Wilson and the Rams have Jared Goff. It's as simple as that. Jared Goff has been so inconsistent this year, but hey, he got the victory over the Seahawks. Now, I think the Seahawks are going to bounce back big this week. They're going on the road to take on the Carolina Panthers. I thought the Panthers were going to play inspired, play fucking fired up for the interim coach, but no, they got blown out by 20 points against the Falcons. So yeah, if this Falcons offense put up 40 points on them, I think the Seahawks offense is going to put up a shit ton of points as well. I like the way Russell Wilson's playing. Obviously, how can you not like a man who's in the MVP conversation? Pete Carroll has been coaching phenomenally this year, and get this, he's 6-1 all time against the Panthers. The fucking Seahawks, they've won 6 straight on the road, 5-1 against the spread on the road. This is a great road team. We've been talking about it all year long. They're not only a threat when they're playing up north with the 12th man. I think they get the job done on the road here. I think they win this game by a touchdown over the Panthers, Al.
I think the Seahawks do bounce back too. And I mean, yeah, Russell Wilson didn't really have that much of a good game against the Rams. But I think he does bounce back hard. And you know what? Carolina Panthers, they got a couple injuries that might be a little problem with them. Gerald McCoy, he's questionable. And Greg Olsen's also questionable. So if those guys don't play, expect Russell Wilson to take advantage against that defense. And expect the Seahawks defense to take advantage if Greg Olsen ain't going to play. Because you know what? Greg Olsen's OG. The guy knows how to still catch a fucking ball, knows how to run around, knows how to do all of that. While you still got Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, but it's a lot better when you have more weapons. So, you know, it looks like to me the Seahawks can take advantage on both sides of the ball. So I think the Seahawks do bounce back hard and beat the fucking Panthers.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks got to bounce back this week while the Carolina Panthers, I mentioned it, fired Ron Rivera just a couple weeks ago. They've lost 5 straight games now. They're 1-6 straight up and 2-5 against the spread in the last 7 games. So yeah, stay away from the Carolina Panthers and roll with Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks here, -6. And then, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about bounce back games. It seems like the theme for the past 3 games here. We had the New England Patriots losing to the Chiefs last week, 23-16. And I know this offense has had some struggles, and I know there's accusations now that the Patriots are going and filming the fucking Bengals sideline, blah, blah, blah. But I just want to know, like, out of all the teams, like, why do you need to film the Cincinnati Bengals? They've won 1 fucking game this season, Al. Like, you can go out there blindfolded. I think Tom Brady's still going to win this game. Now, the spread is at 9 points. Yeah, as long as it stays under double digits, I'm taking the Patriots. I talked about it last week. I didn't think they'd lose 2 weeks in a row. I damn sure don't think they're going to lose 3 weeks in a row, especially not to this fucking Cincinnati Bengals, Al.
The only thing I could think of that would make them want to do that is they're still wanting to play for that bye week or something, or that number one spot.
True.
So maybe they're like, hey, we need to do a little bit of cheating to get that spot back up because, hell, you guys lost 2 games, so I mean, it looks like a little bit of a panic if you ask me. They lose two games in a row, which you said, right?
Yeah.
You said we do not see the Patriots losing two games in a row. Well, you know what? We saw it last week. And now look at, you know, we were over here talking about how the Niner fans are panicking when they lost or whatever. Well, it looks like the whole fucking organization for the Patriots are panicking because it seems to me Robert Kraft wants to sit there and order them to fucking go and do another Spygate. And I think it's fucking great. I think that this is what we need as everybody, as a football fan, because we all hate the fucking Patriots. Right, we want them to not even make the playoffs. Fuck the Patriots. Okay, with that being said, they can go ahead and bounce back all they want, but you know what, I don't even give a fuck because this is Cincinnati Bengals. I shouldn't even be talking this much about this fucking game. Expect the Patriots to have like a 21 skunk Madden style, Mark.
Yeah, Al, I'm right there with you, too. I think they're going to skunk them. I think they're actually going to dominate this game. Yeah, I might say, oh, the Bengals are getting 9 points at home. Well, get this. They're 2-10 against the spread and 3-9 straight up at home in their last 12 games. Obviously, they've only won one fucking game the whole entire season. I don't think they get their second one this week. I'm like the Patriots on the money line and to cover that 9-point spread as well. And then let's go ahead and move on to probably my stay away game for the week. Now, you probably won't want to watch the fucking Patriots beat up on the Bengals, but this game I don't want to watch at all because it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Detroit Lions. And yeah, the Buccaneers, we talked about it, got that push last week, won against the Colts 38-35. While the Detroit Lions, guess what? They got a push against the fucking Vikings, lost 20-17 to get that 13-point spread. Now, if you got it at 13.5, congratulations, you're a winner. Same thing for the Colts. If you got them at 3.5, congratulations, you are a winner. But on the podcast, we got them at 3 and we got them at 13. So those were two pushes of the week. And yeah, man, I mean, Detroit Lions, Joe Blow playing fucking quarterback. I mean, Kerryon Johnson, he's back at practice, but he's not eligible to return to the IR until next week. I mean, then you want to talk about injuries. Mike Evans is now done for the season. Jameis Winston's dealing with a hand injury / thumb injury. I mean, I don't even know what to do because we've talked about it all season long. I mean, the Buccaneers and the over has been one of the greatest bets, but it's a banged-up Buccaneers offense. It's a fucking third-string quarterback for the Lions. I mean, Al, I have no idea where to go here. Lions plus 4? I mean, I think that's the play to make because it seems like whenever the Buccaneers do win, they win by 3 points. But honestly, I just want to stay away from this game. You got any thoughts on it?
Yeah, my thought is take the Lions, to be honest. I mean, if I had the Bucs at first, but now I'm thinking more and more about these fucking injuries. You know, yeah, Mike Evans, you want to say that's a key injury, but it's not like they're going to be missing a receiver after that. You still got Chris Godwin, who's probably going to be getting double covered now. Oh, but, you know, the way he's been balling, the way he's been grabbing these fucking balls, I mean, he could just practically do anything as long as you throw it up to him. But with Jameis Winston having that little injury on his thumb, he said, if he's not going to be playing, hell, even if he does play, I don't even know if I want to take that risk. So I might have to change my mind and take the Lions because, I mean, hey, the Lions cover for me by like I have a point, thank God. And this is the Vikings defense compared to the Bucks defense. If you don't run the ball and just throw it, then you might be safe as a Lion. I don't know, man. This is definitely a stay-away game for me, so I think I'm just going to say fuck it and take the Lions plus 4. I changed my mind, Mark. I'm going Lions.
Yeah, I think that's what you got to do here. I think you just got to throw both the teams out the window and just say I'm going to bet the number on this game. The number is 4. Obviously, I think either of these teams can win this game by a field goal, so why not be smart and protect yourself with the 4 points? I think the Lions plus the points is the play here, but honestly, I can see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning this game on the road. I'll probably end up going Buccaneers money line, but Detroit Lions against the spread, and then let's go ahead and move on to our next game where, hey, it's a repeat from last week. The Miami Dolphins are still going to be in New Jersey. Yes, they lost to the Jets last week 22-21, but it's all right. We told you to take Ryan Fitzpatrick plus 5.5 points over the Jets, so he got the cover, and honestly, he's getting plus points again in the same stadium he just played in last week. He's on the road, back-to-back games at MetLife out in New Jersey. So yeah, I think it's going to be the same type of scenario. I'm taking fucking Ryan Fitzmagic in the points here. The Dolphins have actually been one of the best teams to bet on since Ryan Fitzpatrick took back over. We've been hitting on them all year long with these double-digit spreads. We told you to stick with them plus 5.5. Now they're only getting 3.5 against the Giants, but we just saw the Giants. Monday Night Football, Eli made his great comeback. He looked great the first half, and then he lost. So guess what? Now Eli Manning is now a losing quarterback. All time, he was like 116-116 going into this Monday night game. He's now got a losing record. He's now 116-117. So everything Eli Manning has been through throughout his whole entire career, he's now known as a loser, even though he beat Tom Brady in the championship twice. So I always got to give the man respect for that, but I'm not going to give him any respect this weekend. I think the Dolphins can win this game in an upset. Like I said, they've been there for a week already. I'm pretty damn sure they didn't travel back down to Miami.
I would hope not.
Yeah, just stay there. Fucking A. You're playing in the same goddamn stadium. I like them plus the points here, and I can see the Dolphins getting the upset victory as well, Al.
That's so fucking hilarious how a home team is traveling back home while their fucking away team has probably stayed there for a week or so. And it's just fucking, it's funny to me. But yeah, I'm going with the Dolphins. I don't think the Giants are going to win this game, especially if you got Eli. Hell, if you had Danny Dimes, I'd probably say, yeah, the Giants. But this is Fitzpatrick. This is Fitzmagic, who had more fucking rushing yards than his fucking running back core. He had 7 carries for 65 yards while their fucking running back Patrick Lard, fucking 15 carries for 48 yards. And Fitzpatrick had 19.3 yards averaging for rushing. So you're going to have to sit here and fucking not even call it the Miami Dolphins. We're going to call it the Miami Magics because I like how that sounds when you got Fitzmagic behind that fucking center making the plays, and I think that's what he's going to do this week against the Giants.
Hey, I like what you did there. The Miami Magic, you know, we've got the Orlando Magic, got the Miami Heat, and Ryan Fitzmagic has been bringing the heat all season long. Get this, he's 7-2 against the spread in his last 9 games, while the Giants, they're 0-5 straight up and 1-4 against the spread this season versus AFC opponents. So, yeah, I think the Dolphins get another W this weekend and for sure cover that spread plus 3.5. Got to get that hook in there to protect yourself from the field goal. Fitzmagic gets the job done again. And let's go ahead and move on to an NFC East matchup. We got the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Washington Redskins. Obviously, we just talked about the Eagles and the Giants on Monday Night Football. The Eagles were getting fucking waxed in the first half, but had a second half comeback overtime. Carson Wentz hit Zach Ertz, and that's the ball game. They were able to win against the Giants 23-17, but they did not cover the spread. So that was a double-double chicken winner right here.
You're
on the
welcome.
Straight Cash podcast for you. Now, this game is a rematch from week 1 of the season where the Eagles beat the Redskins 32-27
in the second half.
But that was a 15-point spread, so we told you to take the Washington Redskins there because that was just too damn big for a division matchup. And now, honestly, everybody's hopping off this Eagles bandwagon just in time for them to make a playoff push. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys got the Rams coming up this week. That's a tough game. And the Eagles are only 1 game back from winning that NFC East. Now, the NFC East is turning into the NFC Week, just like the AFC Week was for us for fucking years and years, it seems like. But honestly, I like the Eagles here. The point spread has been dropping all week. I think it started at 7.5, went down to 6.5. It's now down to 4.5 for the Eagles. Now, we saw they were able to beat the Redskins by more than 4.5 earlier in the season. Eagles are fighting for their life, while the Washington Redskins, yeah, they're playing, I guess, for Dwayne Haskins. I guess for Adrian Peterson, he's got a chance to get 14,000 yards this season. But, yeah, I don't think there's anything going well for Washington right now. They got a cool rookie wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. Darius Geis is back on the IR. That guy cannot stay fucking healthy. I'm going to think I'm going to have to roll here with the Eagles. As bad as they've been playing lately, 4.5, I'm not afraid of that spread at all. I think they cover it, and they get the victory as well, Al.
Well, Jesus Christ, it's pretty obvious in our faces. You got Philly playing the Redskins and the Rams playing the fucking Cowboys. You would think Philly's going to play with huge fucking motivation to win that fucking game. And I think they want to win it with some fucking authority. I think that they go way more than 4.5 points. If there's any game that the Eagles are going to fucking sit there and knock the shit out of a team, it has to be now. So let's go ahead and say no more. Take Philly at -4.5.
Yeah, take Philly -4.5. They won 5 straight games against the Redskins. The Redskins at home doesn't get any better. They're 1-9 straight up and 3-7 against the spread of the last 10 home games. And they've lost 7 straight games to division opponents, going 1-6 against the spread in those games. Like we mentioned it, the only time they did cover was a 15-point spread. And we gave you that winner back in week 1. So let's go ahead and roll with the Eagles -4.5 here. And then let's go ahead and move on to the Cleveland Browns versus the Arizona Cardinals. We got the battle of the former number one overall pick versus the current number one overall pick. It's Baker Mayfield versus Kyler Murray. The Browns did get the victory last week over the Bengals 27-19. And this was an interesting one because it did open up at 9 points. But if you got the spread in, the Cleveland Browns were actually bet down to 6.5, 7 points. So they were able to cover that spread against the Bengals, while the Arizona Cardinals lost against the Steelers. We told you the Steelers would win and cover that spread, and that's exactly what they did. And honestly, I think it's going to be the same thing for another AFC North opponent. I think the Browns are the better team right now. As long as it's less than a field goal right now, I don't think that Baker Mayfield and the Browns are going to lose this one on the road. Now, Kyler Murray has been playing better, kept it close against the Steelers, had that hamstring injury. It didn't look like it affected him too much. But as long as this fucking Odell Beckham drama doesn't spill too far into this offense, I think the Browns are going to win this game -2.5.
Well, speaking of Odell, he is questionable to play. So, I mean, but still, I don't even think that matters. I just thought that would be a fun fact for everybody because, I mean, we all hate Odell Beckham Jr. But I think that the Browns do get it done. And, I mean, shit. The Cardinals, yeah, you got to sit there and say, hey, you know, you got Kyler Murray who could run all over this defense perhaps, but you know what? Who knows? And as long as Browns have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in that backfield, I think anything could happen. Kareem Hunt showed up late in the season and just started fucking doing what he needed to do. Hell, he's got like, what, 2-3 touchdowns already? I think that if they keep them together and have a good connection, and if Odell does play, I think the Browns get it done pretty easy.
Yeah, the Browns have a real high power offense, and yeah, since Kareem Hunt has joined that offense, it seems like they have another element in that backfield. While the Arizona Cardinals, we've talked about it multiple times on this podcast, they have one of the worst defense in the league. Jimmy Garoppolo carved them up twice. I think Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and Baker Mayfield have a field day. David Njoku's back as well. Maybe the tight end gets a little action, but I think Nick Chubb's going to run through this defense regardless. I like the Browns to win this game by a field goal. I think they might win this game by a touchdown. I like the Browns big in this game over the Cardinals. And let's go ahead and move on to the Vikings and the Chargers. And yeah, the Vikings, we talked about it, got a win last week versus the Lions. It did end up in a push because the Lions got that last garbage time touchdown.
Let's go.
Now they will be traveling to the West Coast to take on the Chargers, who put an absolute beating on the Jaguars last week, 45-10. You got Phillip Rivers yelling at people, saying, "I will yell in your ear. That's a 90-yard touchdown. You know who I am." Blah,
oh, that
blah,
shit
blah.
Happened this week?
That was this past week.
Oh, dude, I thought that
Ngakoue
was a replay I saw.
No, he was fucking, yeah.
90 yards.
Touchdown. Yeah, I will yell in your ear. Like, Phillip Rivers is just a fucking spaz ball. And yeah, the Chargers have been one of the most inconsistent teams in the league. Now, they did get Derwin James back this past weekend, so obviously that was huge for this Chargers defense. They ended up 10 points. But against his Vikings team, I've compared him to the 49ers all season long. Of course, the Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins comparisons are there. But honestly, when you look at the Vikings, they got a better running back. They got better wide receivers. And they do have some better pieces that are better on the defense side of the ball. That defensive line matches up with them. I think the Vikings are in that same mold as the 49ers. Run the ball, play defense. And hey, Kirk Cousins is having kind of a breakout year, just like Jimmy Garoppolo. So yeah, with the playoff life on the line, I like the Vikings minus 2.5. I love that it's under a field goal. I'll go ahead and roll with the Vikings. Take out the Chokers down in LAL.
It's funny because I got Chokers written on my paper, but you know what? I think the Vikings win by a fucking touchdown, not by 2.5. I think that the Vikings will take this. This is honestly probably one of my bets to take automatically because, hell, I think the Chokers was a fluke last week. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was Minshew coming back as a starter, so I don't think he had that magic that he had before. So I just honestly think that was a fluke. And, hell, you know, Eckler can go fuck himself in a fantasy purpose because I lost because of him. So if they keep Eckler fucking down to a goddamn minimum, I think that they could have no problem stopping this offense. And hey, expect Phillip Rivers to just choke again, because you know what we seen after that game? He wanted no smoke with that motherfucker. So if he keeps talking that shit, someone's gonna knock him in his face. Hopefully not with a helmet to a head. For sure. But yeah, let's just say no more and take the fucking Vikings at -2.5.
Yeah, we're taking the Vikings -2.5, making the trip cross country. We got faith in Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook to get the job done. Let's go ahead and move on to probably which is going to be the closest game of the week, Alan. I think it's probably going to have the biggest playoff implications. We teased it a couple segments ago. It's the Rams taking on the Cowboys, and this spread has just been interesting. It started off with the Dallas Cowboys favored by 3.5, and I was like, damn, the Rams are looking good right now. But of course, everybody's got that confirmation bias. Everybody just saw what happened with the Rams taking out the Seahawks this weekend. So now everybody's back on this Rams bandwagon, and it went down from 3.5 to 1.5 to 0.5 to a pick 'em. And now I've even seen the Los Angeles Rams as a favorite on some websites, but we're going to just go ahead and call this game a pick 'em. And yeah, if you're picking between the Rams and the Cowboys, obviously the Rams are playing better right now. They're 8-5. They do have a small chance to make the playoffs now. The Vikings would have to lose. They got to get a couple losses in there, so they do need help from someone else, while the Dallas Cowboys will be in control of their own fate. Of course, like I said, got a one-game lead over the Eagles. They got to get a W, but honestly, this is not a good game for the Dallas Cowboys. They still haven't beat a team with a winning record. They're 1-7 against the spread versus teams with winning records. While on the other side, the Rams, they're playing great right now. They ran for 162 yards on the Seahawks defense. Todd Gurley is finally getting back involved with his offense. Had 23 carries, 79 yards. I mean, it seemed like fucking the whole first half of the season, they refused to give this guy 20 carries. Now they're trying to make up for it late. And I mentioned it, against teams with a winning record, Cowboys haven't won. While the Rams, they're 4-0 on the season versus teams with a losing record, and they're 4-1 against the spread as road underdogs. Like I said, if you got them at +3, start doing the fucking happy dance, because that's the fucking bet of the week. I like the Rams here to get the victory. I would call it an upset, but it's down to a pick 'em. So yeah, we'll take the fucking Rams on the money line over the Dallas Cowboys, Al.
Oh, sorry, guys. You know, it was a little boring talking about the fucking Cowboys, because you know what? The Cowboys have been goddamn awful the last few weeks. I don't know what's been going on with them. Maybe I could tell you their coach, I guess, because, again, they got the fucking talent. Sure, they got some key injuries, but they still got the talent. They just don't have the coaching, and I don't know what the fuck's going on in Dallas, but I don't even give a fuck. I'm taking the Rams, and I'll take them in the pick 'em. And you know what? I wish I did get him on a plus three because that would have been the happy dance for me. And you know what? With these injuries that the Cowboys have, you got Jeff Heath, who's questionable. Van Der Esch still doubtful. I think that they're going to be picking on Sean Lee with him and his age when he's up there as a linebacker. So I think that they're going to take full advantage, throw the ball all over the place. Hell, Gurley might get two touchdowns unless he gets robbed by the fat fuck Henderson. So, yeah, I think the Rams can definitely take this one on a pick 'em.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think you got to go with the Rams on pick 'em. Yeah, their resume is a lot better than the Cowboys right now. They're actually beating winning teams while the Cowboys cannot beat a team with a winning pulse. Yeah, this is a pick 'em game. Both teams playing for their lives right now. That's why Vegas has it as a coin flip, but you got to go roll with a hot team right now. We always talk about how it's a week-to-week league, so I wouldn't be surprised with the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're still rated like the number one total yards team in offense. Their defense is still like top 15. They just can't put it together. Might be your fucking coach, fucking Jerry Jones. How would you fire his ass? But yeah, we're not going to see that till the end of the season. Or if they lose this weekend to the Rams, knock them out of the playoffs, Jason Garrett could finally get the axe. So I'm rooting to see that. I'm rooting for the Rams to get the W this weekend. Tiny Hand Golf is going to win this game and a pick 'em over the Dallas Cowboys. And let's go ahead and move into Sunday Night Football. Al's been waiting for it all podcast long.
Oh,
and man, we've had a lot of offensive shootouts, but I think this is going to be one of the best defensive matchups all season long. We got the Buffalo Bills traveling into Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Of course, the Steelers won last week 23-17, got you to victory on the money line and against the spread. While the Buffalo Bills, we told you to take the Ravens minus five, I think it was, anything less than a touchdown, we were rolling with the Ravens, and that's exactly what the Ravens did. Josh Allen did have some success late, getting a little garbage time touchdown. But honestly, the Bills, as great as they've been playing this year, we saw Lamar Jackson is just on a whole nother level above them. Now, the Bills, they are the fifth wild card team right now, and their Steelers are seated as the sixth wild card team right
behind
now.
Them,
so this
baby.
Is a wild card matchup, and I think this is huge implications just because if the Titans end up getting a W this weekend, they could swap with either the Bills or the Steelers. So I think both teams are going to be playing hard. They got to get the job done. And honestly, who's getting the job done better right now than fucking Devlin Duck Hodges? Mr. Quack, Quack, Quack himself went 16 for 19, 152 yards, a touchdown. I mean, this is an undrafted quarterback who just beat the number one overall pick from a year ago and the number one overall pick this year. I just talked about it. Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield are playing each other this week, two former number one overall picks. This guy, Duck Hodges, has beat both of them, Al, and honestly, he's keeping them in every single game, it seems like. And you know how I've been feeling about Pittsburgh at home this year. I think they got to be the team to be on. Now, this is going to be a low-scoring game, but it's less than a field goal. I think the Steelers are going to take this one and cover the spread minus 2 points, Al.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be sweating all fucking day on Sunday, Marcus. You know that this is going to happen. And you know what? I am feeling a little bit more better about it because we got Juju coming back, hopefully. I think that he has been cleared to play, so I think that we finally get him back. Hopefully, we get James Conner back. But even if we don't, we still got Snell and Jalen Samuels who are handling it for us. And you know what? I don't even want to talk about our offense. The one thing I want to give is our goddamn defense, because as much as we fucking suck on the Niners Cox defense, they don't have as much sacks as us. That's right, folks, the fucking Pittsburgh Steelers with 48 sacks. Why does that matter? Because it's the most sacks in the NFL, motherfuckers. Our defense is back. We are back to our steel curtain ways. 3 takeaways last week. Joe Hayden with 2 picks. Oh, let's fucking go. I'm so excited for this. 8-5, and we're going to the playoffs. I know we are. We are going to beat those shit fucking Bills. There's going to be no fans like the Bills, but not this fucking week because we are in Pittsburgh. And even if we were in Buffalo, our fans would run that fucking town out because our fans are all over the place. If you look at Arizona, nothing but terrible towels. You look in Oakland, nothing but terrible towels. You look at San Diego, when I went, nothing but terrible towels, people. The Steelers are high, and they're going to stay high, and I don't give a fuck what you motherfuckers say. Our defense is looking spectacular, and I am just so excited because this is something I wasn't expecting, Marcus.
Hey, absolutely. I don't think anybody expected the Bills and the Steelers, especially after the Ben Roethlisberger injury, to be in the conversation for a playoff team. So I think both these head coaches should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. But Al, you know how the saying goes. I say it every week. No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, but no one fucking circles those fucking terrible towels up in the air like the fucking Steelers fans do. And yeah, I've seen it before. We've seen it in Oakland. We saw it down in San Diego when we saw the Steelers play down there.
I've seen it in Santa Clara this year.
Yeah, Steelers fans travel better than anybody, and they really do have a great home field advantage. I don't know how people don't talk about the Steelers' home field advantage and, oh, they're not one of the loudest stadiums, blah, blah, blah. When you see all those fucking terrible towels up in the air, it does something to opposing quarterbacks, and I think the Steelers' defense defense is going to shut down Josh Allen this week. Yeah, Singletary's been playing well. Frank Gore, OG, always got to give respect to. But a defense versus defensive matchup, I got to go with the Steelers in this one, Al.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely going to be a low-scoring game. So if anything, you might want to take the over because, again, Devin Hodges isn't a quarterback that just throws the ball all over the place. He's a game manager. I've said this since he started. He did fucking what he needed to do. No interceptions. That's all that fucking matters in my book. Yeah. You keep that ball with our guys, that's all that matters. Even if you punt, fuck it. Just don't do turnovers. That's all we need. And I don't think that the Bills have what it takes to beat us. It's going to be a great game, but I think that we will prevail at the end of this motherfucker.
Yeah, I think that's a great point there, Al. Both great defenses. I think whoever turns the ball over the least in this game is going to end up winning this game. I think with Duck Hodges handing him the responsibility as quarterback, he's played phenomenal since taking over. James Conner, he should be playing this weekend as well.
He's possibly. I think he is. He's questionable. I haven't heard anything about him. The only person I've heard is Juju.
Okay, Juju's back as well. So, I mean, that's a whole other piece on the offense. Better than any wide receiver for the Bills. I know John Brown has been playing great, but honestly, I think it's going to be a defensive matchup. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills offense, we saw him kind of struggle last week against his Ravens defense. Well, hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is right up there with the Ravens defense right now. Both top five defenses. Buffalo Bills got a top three defense. But yeah, at the end of the day, I'm rolling with the Pittsburgh Steelers to get this victory -2 over the Bills. And let's go ahead and move on to our Monday night game, our final game of the Week 15 slate. It's the Indianapolis Colts going into New Orleans to take on the Saints. Now, obviously, we all know what happened with the Saints. That's how we started off the podcast. They lost to the 49ers 48-46. But we told you to take the 49ers on the upset and on the points. So that's another double winner for you there.
Welcome.
While the Colts and the Bucks went to a push. So we went from a double winner to no winners. I mean, no, we did technically take the Buccaneers on the money line. I think I did. I don't know. Go back and check. But the Colts will be taking on the New Orleans Saints this weekend. And yeah, the spread is kind of interesting. It was up at about 9, dropped down to 7. Now it's back up at 8. So the money has been kind of fluctuating back and forth. But honestly, I don't even know what to do with the Colts, Al. I know that's been one of your favorite teams in the AFC South, but they've now lost 3 straight games, and they've lost 5 out of the last 6. Jacoby Brissett has been struggling lately, obviously without Marlon Mack. T.Y. Hilton's done for the season pretty much. He's not coming back anytime soon, I don't think. So, yeah, in a game that the Saints lost when they put up 46 points, I think they're going to put up a lot of points on Monday night. Like I said, they got bumped out of that number 2 seed. They're no longer in the driver's seat for a bye. So especially because they're playing on Monday night, if something crazy happens with the Packers, they end up losing. I think that's even extra motivation for the Saints to get back in that bye situation because they for sure want to be playing a playoff game down in New Orleans, down in that dome, which is one of the loudest places in the country. But yeah, I think the Saints are going to win this game. I think they route them here. Another primetime blowout. I think they win this game by double digits. I'll go ahead and take the Saints -8 in this matchup, Al.
I'm still going to tell you guys, I am very, very disappointed because I've been on the Colts. I felt like a genius taking the Colts. I mean, they were looking like exactly how I was describing them in the beginning of the season, and then injuries started coming in, and then it just started decreasing for the Colts. So I can't take the Colts this weekend. Obviously, you're gonna have to take the fucking Saints and roll them by at least 10, right? I mean, if you guys are gonna do what the fuck you did against the Niners, you guys shouldn't have no problem against the Colts. And yeah, the Colts defense did have a field day last week, but again, that's Jameis fucking Winston, who's an average of 2 picks a game. So I think that Drew Brees is definitely gonna have a field day with the Colts. I think that Michael Thomas is gonna get at least 100 yards. If Jared Cook plays without that head injury, expect him to get a lot. And I mean, shit, even Tatrain, imagine Murray getting some fucking carries in this game, you know, more than Kamara. Because again, I say Kamara's fucking value has kind of decreased. So I think that I'm going to stop where I'm going here and just take the Saints at -8 and go, hopefully they win by 14.
Yeah, take the Saints to come marching in on Monday Night Football to win this game by double digits. The Colts, like I said, they've been falling apart over the back end of the season. 3 straight losses, have lost 5 of 6. They do have a decent record against the spread versus winning teams, but you want to go on the other side. The Saints are 4-1 against the spread versus teams with a losing record, and the Saints are 8-3 against the spread in our last 11 games as well. So let's keep rolling with the Saints. We are off them last week. We're hopping back on the gravy train. We're taking the Saints to win -8 on Monday Night Football, and that is every single game from Week 15 of the 2019 NFL Straight Cash Podcast, baby. You know what it is. We're breaking down every game, giving you the preview for the Raiders and the 49ers. I like the Raiders -6.5 and the 49ers -10.5, both getting victory. degrees. Al is going away from me, taking the Jaguars to cover the spread
at least.
We'll see what happens in the final game in Oakland. But one thing I can tell you, this will not be the final podcast for the Bay's Golden Days because we got 3 weeks left of football, and we're going to be breaking down every single spread as the season comes to a close. And then we'll probably even be back for playoffs. I mean, we'll do a wild card round, division round. There'll be shorter podcasts, obviously, but we'll give you all the information you need to know to bet on the 2019 going into the 2020 season because, yeah, we've been saying it all year long. We've been giving you nothing but winners, Al.
Nothing but fucking winners. You guys needed to sit here and just listen to us because as long as we're above 500, you know what? I'm not even going to say it because you guys should already know. But you know what? We'll pray for y'all because we want you guys to win. And hell, you need to pray for us because it's not just one fucking normal weekend for us. This weekend is going down. That's right, folks. We're going to Reno making money. Hopefully I can make some fucking money and the Saints won't fuck me like they did last time I went. But it's going down. Pray for us. Hopefully we won't be too drunk, huh?
It will be the degenerate weekend special Woo! Of the season. Yes, we'll be out in Reno this weekend. Betting NFL, betting the Army Navy Bowl, betting some UFC fights. We're going to be betting all weekend. We're going to be shit faced. So don't hit us up Saturday or Sunday. Hey, what's your pick? Blah, blah, blah. I'm too fucked up
too
to even get it
up.
Right now. So go ahead and I'll say, hey, check out the Bay's Golden Days podcast like you always do. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you can find your podcast. Just type in Bay's Golden Days in the Straight Cash podcast. So, like always, thank you for listening and downloading and subscribing. Go ahead and leave a review on iTunes if you want. It helps us out a bunch. Just thank you for everything this year rolling with us through 15 weeks of the season. But honestly, y'all should be thanking us. We keep giving you winners week in and week out, and you know it's going to continue throughout the rest of the season. So as always, baby, you know what it is. The Bay's Golden Days is golden.
Peace out. Golden.
Steady gold. Pony boy.